Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. Play now at supercoach.com.au.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Why do you keep saying bro?
Put moron number two on the phone.
Well, if I say it really quick, battle it out.
What just the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Nice to have your company. These are good shows. Mm. These ones leading into when Vince really gets his eye in.
Yes.
I think you're close to our best.
Yes.
The late August editions. Yes. And we have royalty. Royalty in the form of Ricky Ponting, arguably post-Bradman Australia's greatest batsman. I have Greg Chappell in the same sentence.
Yeah.
But the two of them are the best we've had. And now we've got Steve Smith. Now, well, let's wait till Steve finishes. He's beautiful. But those two who have finished, they're at the top of the tree. And he is a star. Wine, of course, loves his footy, so can't wait to chat to him. And then Idiot Song.
No.
Oh, yes. Hello to you, Fat.
G'day, Jim. You're right. Greg Chappell, Ricky Ponting. Who else would there be?
Well, Steve Smith, but he's still
but
going.
But he started well. He's just dropped off a little bit.
But he's still going beautifully.
Still going. All right, man. Good to see you, and good to see you, Rabsy.
I'm just going to assess situation here at Old Trafford. Oh. 35 for 3. We're going to take a break. Back with hopefully some highlights after this.
I'm getting round.
Tomo, Jeffrey Robert Thompson.
Oh, I tell you, the funniest bit about that, I've told you this before. The funniest bit about that was we just finished the one-day international at Lord's, where we were placed in front of the Pakistan part of the crowd who didn't like us being there.
Ooh.
And basically stuff was thrown at us and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, so I'm pressing the button to the producer going, how the you-know-what are you putting us here? Where our lives are in danger. You know? So a couple of times I might have let something go that was a bit ripe. Not on air. This is during the ad breaks. Yeah. Anyway, we're in the car driving up to Manchester. Two up goes, listen, mate, take it from an old mate. You just got to be careful swearing around microphones. You never know.
Jeffrey,
you never know
Jeffrey.
When people back in the truck haven't got the thing pressed down.
Jeffrey.
I said, it was in an ad break. He goes, I know, but I'd hate to see you derail yourself, so just be careful.
Come on, Jeffrey.
Less than 12 hours later, he's dropped the F-bomb, gone all over Australian television. One of my favourite people of all time, Jeff Thompson.
Could have given it a break.
I know. How good.
Just straight up.
Straight in.
Straight
I'm
in.
Getting drowned.
Come on, Jeffrey.
Great
man. Great man. Hey, week one of the finals, of course,
yes,
Jimmy boy. And you see Adelaide Oval now, up to 20,000.
Well, Bernie said yesterday, to be fair to him, that he would intervene.
He did. And he has.
Well, good for him.
15,000.
That time he did some bloody thing.
It was 15 and gone to 20,000 for both games there at Adelaide Oval, which is great. Tomahawk, 300 games, Jim. He's been a good player, hasn't he?
Champion.
300 games.
Champion.
And he ran through a banner at his farm today.
Did he?
Him and his missus and,
did
the,
he?
And his
good
team,
on him.
And his girls put up a banner. And he, well, I think the kids ran through it more so than him. Also, Buddy Franklin only needs 8 goals to reach 1,000.
Yes.
So if they win, they play another game. If he kicks 4 and 4, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Joel Selwood plays his 332nd game, Jim. He equals Corey Enright. Most games played at the Geelong Football Club.
All right, here's a question for you.
Yes.
Who's been a better player for the Cats? Joel Selwood or Boris Enright?
Joel.
Ooh, geez,
he's led the team. He's led
the player.
Team. Yeah, player. Oh, yeah.
Bill,
also,
Boris Enright was
a
superstar.
I love Boris, but I love Joel. I think Joel.
No,
Joel,
they're both magnificent.
We'll also draw level with Sean Burgoyne. 35 finals, Jim.
Wow.
Of course, the most is Michael Tuck with 39.
But he played for 38 years.
He did. Still playing.
Oh, he is. He's still got the long
out
sleeve.
Out the back there in the long sleeve. Looks like he was looking for gold. One of those gold fossickers.
Exactly right.
The big news, Jim.
Yes,
this will surprise you. David Teague has been sacked by Carlton. Hasn't it?
Poor bastard's had to go through the ringer, hasn't he? I mean, we all knew it was going to happen. It was only a matter of when. So hopefully he can get some clear air in front of him.
Tell you what, it's been Lionel out there, has it, at Princess Park?
Lionel?
Messy, Jim. It's been messy.
I knew. This is how bad it is after 20 years of working on this bloke, I now know where his idiot head's going.
But good news out of Carlton is that Greg Williams is a new football director
at
Carlton. So that is good news, Jim. That is good news.
He will pull no punches and hopefully do a great job because they need it.
And just on David Teague, the new president, Luke Sayers, had this to say today in a presser.
The primary focus from this day forward will be about sustained and uncompromising high performance, winning footy games, playing ourselves into finals, and getting ourselves the greatest chance of winning premierships. Our expectation, based on the list that we have, we are looking to make finals in 2022.
That's next year, Jim. See, it's a bit of pressure on the young, new coach,
this
isn't
it? Now, this is a new chairman.
Yeah, it is.
And therefore, good on him, and I'm not here to tell him what to do, but that's one thing I always worry about with chairman of footy clubs, why you would ever put that sentence ahead of a coach you haven't even appointed yet or anything they're going to do. I mean, Bill, there's no, you don't have to do it. Mm. There's no journalist saying, and if they say you're going to play finals next year, all you need to say is, Let us appoint a coach. Right. Let us put the best team together. Let us give our club the best chance to be elite. You don't have to put the finals word in there.
Because what happens if they don't? Ross Lyon gets it and then they don't.
Well, you're just making a rod for your own back.
That's right.
I never get that.
Yeah, spot on. Mm. Hey, you've been watching the Tokyo Paralympics, Jim?
I'm watching it right behind rabbits. Well, extraordinary.
I know. There was a bloke playing table tennis yesterday. He had no arms.
How good?
With his mouth, Jim.
And how good was he?
I know. That's
quite extraordinary.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
But I tell you what, the Aussies have been magnificent, Jim. The swimming team won 8 medals, including 4 golds on the first night of finals. Add a couple of golds there in the track cycling. Australia is sitting on top of the Paralympics medals table, Jim, after day one. Are you ready?
Yes.
With 6 golds.
Gold! Oh, yes.
1 silver. And 3 bronze, Jim.
I thought we might have found a better one the two games.
Hey, but well done to the Aussies.
Brilliant.
That's fantastic.
Well done.
Top of the table. No China doubt. Second. So well done to the Aussies.
Brilliant.
Hey, what happened to Brian? There was a,
thank
he
you,
got
Brian.
Airlifted to hospital last night.
Okay, as I understand it. Very minor end of the injury scale, but lucky.
Well, he was...
Well, Brian, stop trying to do stuff yourself.
Well, he's an old plumber.
No, Bill, it was back in the 80s.
I know.
Employ a tradesman to come and put stuff in for you.
And guess what he was doing some maintenance on, Jim?
What?
A hot water service.
No, well, there you go.
Well, he's got 7 of them at their property.
The reams.
He's got 7 of them all around the property, Jim.
Brian, stop doing it yourself. I'm speaking for all tradies.
Exactly.
They would all be sitting in their cars right now going, listen, ring us up, get us to come around. We know what we're doing. You don't. We will do it properly.
Things would have changed, Brian.
A lot.
But it's like old blokes trying to get up on the roof and clean gutters and things like that. No.
I've always been a strong believer, Bill, in making sure that money goes around the economy.
Especially.
So I do as little as possible.
Hard work's involved. The third test was unbelievable last night. Jimmy Anderson. We'll talk to Punter about it, Jim. He had that juke ball just hooping around.
No, he's a genius.
He's out, and then just 1 jags back.
His skill when he bowls in that country is quite extraordinary.
So he only bowled 8 overs, 5 maidens, 3 for 6, Jim.
Yep.
They were all out for 78 after Virat won the toss and batted. Yep. All out 78. And England are none of 120 or something.
Now, do England bring Broad and Anderson out here this summer?
Yes, I think they got it.
I hope they do. They've both got horrible records in Australia, especially Anderson.
Why is Anderson?
Because our ball doesn't move like theirs and our tracks are as flat as.
Yeah.
And they've come back in speed, both of them.
Because he's third on the wicket takers now, behind Murali and Warney.
In England, Bill, he is a freak.
Oh.
But when he comes out here, his record, he averages 50 plus nearly.
Is it?
So I'd like to see both of them in there starting 11.
Broad,
pretty much all of the Test match.
Broad goes okay, doesn't he?
Yeah, but they're still not great.
Still
they're a long way back from Pat Cummins and Hazelwood.
Edges at the gully and doesn't walk. Melbourne Storm, they're playing Parramatta this weekend, Saturday night at Suncorp.
Rugby league.
That's it. And they're playing for their 20th win in a row, which will be a new NRL record.
And Bill.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure, Rabs.
They beat them earlier in the year.
the Parramatta, the Eels.
One of the only teams to beat them.
No, they're going to be a tough side to beat. But if they win this new record, haven't they been good to Storm? Because they're still away. They're still up there in Sydney.
I told you I spoke to Fat Vorton during the week.
Fat!
And he said they are so far and away the best team in the comp, they'd have to fall over not to win it.
Feeding
it. And this is Fat Queensland. Mm. He goes, everyone can't stand them only because of how good they are.
That's right.
Spot he on. Said, they Jealousy. Are the best. So I'm taking that from Fat.
All right. So am I. We should back him.
No, I don't bet, Bill.
Don't you?
No.
He's a wowser.
Just don't.
No, you're a wowser.
I do most other things. Just don't bet. All right. I think punter can't wait any longer. So let's get to it.
It's the Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Ricky Ponting joining us next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
The Arc de Triomphe.
Oh! And
on the listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, and we are joined by Australian cricket royalty Ricky Ponting.
Our next guest has 41 Test centuries, the most of any Australian cricketer.
There it is. 41 Test hundreds for Ricky Ponting.
We've been massive supporters of his for ages.
He's only won us three World Cups.
Two, Bill.
He's only averaged 60 against the fastest bowlers in the world.
52.
Jim, shut up, you freak!
Please welcome Ricky Ponting.
Well, he did win a couple of those World Cups close to off his own bat, but when I look down at the resume, it actually annoys me, so I don't go through it anymore. 168 tests.
Yeah.
Which, I tell you what that is, Bill.
Yes.
Greedy. No. Well, some of us didn't get to play any. Well, he gobbled them all up.
Some were better than
he
others.
He took them all for himself.
And this is good bowling in these days, Jim.
No, it was. No, he's a star. Punter, welcome to you.
Good on you, boys. How you going?
Now, we've got lots to discuss with you, but let's start with footy, of course, because you're a massive Kangaroos butt footy fan, and you've been stuck at home, so you've been watching every single game. Firstly, how did you see your Kangas this year?
Yeah, every single game and on replay during the weekdays as well. So I've got my fair footy feel. There's nothing about that. How do I see the Kangaroos? First six or seven games of the season, I thought, God, where on earth, what are we doing here? Where are we going? Where's this football club going?
Yep.
And then all but probably the last game, I just watched every game with a massive smile on my face. I think you know, the progression of some of the younger players, the game plan, the style. David Nab was obviously a very good teacher because it seemed like they stuck to the game plan right the way through the back half of the season. And I think at the end of the day, it was. I think a lot of people have said it. Probably the best wooden spoon team there's ever been. That's how it sort of looks. So there's a lot of upside, I think, going forward for the next couple of years.
Wow, a bit of light at the end of the tunnel there. What about this weekend? We got the finals down there in Launceston. Whoa. You played footy down there, punter. Did you play at Launceston at the Oval?
Yeah, certainly did, mate. That was my home footy ground, home ground actually. It's actually called the home of footy as well. That down there, Utah Stadium.
Home of footy.
JB's in love with the place. You can't wait to get down to Launceston at every possible.
Only ever played a game there. It was before Punter had started playing. Yeah. And as we flew out, I said, I hope I never come back here again.
No, seriously, it's a good golf course out there where
very
the casino
nice.
Is.
The casino
that's about.
Is good,
yeah. But, yeah, that's it's not. Yeah, no, in all honesty, that was my home ground. I spent a lot of my early days there. You know, I finished playing footy when I was sort of 15 or 16, but my mates had gone and played senior footy with the North Launceston Bombers, so I'll be down there. When I wasn't away playing cricket, I was down there every weekend watching those boys, and then my cricket ground's directly out the back of the Utah Stadium, so that was my home ground, Invermay Park. So spent a lot of time in that area.
Broke your arm when you were about 14, didn't you?
Yeah, it broke my elbow, actually. Yeah, it broke my humerus bone. When, why it's called that, I'm not sure, because it wasn't that funny. But, that was my last game of footy, and then it was straight to the academy the next year, the cricket academy the next year. It's everything sort of started pretty quickly from there.
Well, it's amazing that ground is going to hold two finals this weekend. The Sydney teams, of course, and then Essendon and the Western Bulldogs on Sunday. So it's a massive thing for Tassie.
Yeah, I think both games are sold out in a matter of minutes, weren't they, as well, which is outstanding. I mean, it is a massive occasion. I mean, there's been a lot of talk, hasn't there, for the last few years, but the last couple of weeks, talk about Tassie getting their own team or a team being relocated down there, and then this happens. So I think it's really important this weekend that the Tassie football-loving public really get out and support these games and put on the best show they possibly can for the state and for the AFL.
If you do get a team, say in 5 years' time, should there be just one ground, or should you, or could you play down in Lonnie and in Hobart?
I think they could play them both. They're both very, very good grounds. I know that. I think that, talking to the players, though, the Hawthorn boys have always spoken really highly about UTAS Stadium and the surface there in Launceston. And I'm probably a little bit biased because that's sort of where I'm from Launceston. But I thought both grounds could easily, as we've seen through the last sort of 10 years, can put on a pretty good show as far as AFL footy is concerned.
They'd have to build a stadium, though, wouldn't they? I mean, if we're talking 5 to 10 years' time for the team to come in
Hobart,
they would have to.
Yeah, they're talking about that, yeah. I mean, they're talking about that. I mean, the ideal thing down there would be a stadium with a roof when you think about Tasmania. That's the ideal thing. I think there's a place, Point Macquarie or something like that. There's a big place that's sort of out directly across from the old Grand Chancellor Hotel. They're out at the point out there. There's a big plot of land out there is what they're talking about, have been talking about for a couple of years. And I think, you know, if the AFL ever give them a time frame, I think that's when they'll start looking at potentially building a new stadium.
Or at the museum there. That bloke's got plenty. Mona,
put a roof over the whole state. Bill, the weather down, it is a magnificent place, Tassie, but by Christ, when the weather gets its eye in, it is bitterly cold and windy and wet. And
well, the North Pole or the South Pole or whatever it is.
There, not the North Pole, Bill.
Well, the South Pole, just right there, Jim. One of them.
It's a beautiful place. So especially that new setup down in Hobart, superb down
Salamanca
there.
Salamanca place.
Ooh, I like it down there. Beautiful
and they've got
steak
a wall.
And Reds. Speaking of Reds, we're going to get to that in just a sec. But punter, let's talk a bit of cricket with you. India all out for 70. That's an interesting test series going on as we speak.
Yeah, there's been a bit going on, hasn't there? Not just on the field. There's been a bit of a war of words off the field as well. And it sounds like there might have even been a bit of an altercation in the change rooms that after the Lord's test match as well between both teams. So that tends to happen when, you know, you got Virat Kohli plays with his heart on his sleeve. You know, they are and can be a little bit prickly, the Indian players. Now, I think Kale Rahul came out the other day and said, if you start with one of us, then 11 of us are going to be all over you. And that's what happened in the last game. But the war of words has been won on day one by England in this third test match, bowling them out for 78 and they're done for 120 hit stumps. So, it's one thing to say it and talk a good game. But as we all know, you've got to get out there and perform under extreme pressure. And, teams getting bowled out cheaply at Headingley, having batted first, is not that rare either, Jim.
Oh, Jim.
Well, this is a man who made at least one test 100 at Headingley. I was there for 2001.
No, I reckon I can remember when Ricky was captain, Jim, one day, and he sent the opposition in.
Yes, Edgbaston, I think you're talking about.
No.
Yeah, I've erased that one, actually, from the memory bank. I can remember that game.
You won the toss and batted, that's right. You won the toss and batted, and Australia all out for 90, I reckon, Rick.
Yeah, 90. Oh, that was at Headingley. The one thing they say about Headingley, which is a really unusual venue, you can walk out there and look at the pitch, and the pitch looks like an absolute road, but if there's any cloud cover overhead, then the ball just does some really crazy things, swings and seams. And that, on that day, I must have won the toss, and the sun was out, the wicket looked good. By the time the half an hour from the toss to the start of play it happened, the clouds had come in, and we got bowled out. I think it was about 98, I think so.
But 2001, you made 100 there at Headingley. You did personally.
97 was actually my first 100 there. It was my first test 100.
Yes.
127 at Headingley. Yes. And then, the next year as well, I think 140.
And at which I was there for. And then I reckon the tour after that, or before, I can't remember which one, Herb Elliott should have made 200 there. And the ball never looked like missing the middle of his bat.
Yeah, that was 97. I shared that partnership with him. We must have put on about 300 that day, Herb and I. So
he took the piss, Herb. He just kept pounding it to all parts.
Yeah, he could do that, couldn't he? He could make batting look very, very easy, Matthew Elliott. He was a fantastic player.
Hey, before we get off this and get on to wine, Burns, Sibley, Crawley started the top three for England in this Indian series. I must admit, only one of them have survived to the third test. Mm. That is the worst looking top three I've ever seen play test cricket.
They're not pretty on the eye. I actually played with Rory Burns. I played with my last season of first class cricket was at Surrey, and I played with Rory Burns. And I said, I actually remember almost on a daily basis getting into the nets and trying to change a few things that he was doing, and particularly with his grip and his bat face. You have a look how closed his bat face is, and he's basically batting with half a bat for most of the time. I mean, batting's hard enough as it is when you've got a full face of the bat, let alone only using half of it. But I mean, I don't know how closely you guys have watched him over the years, but the amount of times he gets caught off a leading edge, just spooning one to mid-off or a thick edge to cover a point because that bat face is so closed. But, look, he's found a way to make a lot of runs for Surrey. And his test record isn't that bad either, but it's not I won't be. I don't sit by the television waiting for the cricket to start when I know that him and Sibley are walking out to bat.
No. And then, of course, Joe Root comes in and you actually remember how betting should look.
That's right.
Now, we need to get to a break because we've got to talk wine next.
Wine.
I never thought Punter would know anything about.
Well, I thought he'd be a beer drinker, Jim.
Well, he was.
What's happened?
Back down the map of Taz, but now he's developed a bit of sophistication.
Sydney, he was a beer drinker.
It's a rush hour. JB and Hill, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Now, Jim, I've got the awkward of all awkwardness. Awkward with a capital A.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. A star in the cricket scene and a star in the wine industry, Ricky Ponting, joins us.
Well, the proper star behind it is Ben Riggs, of course, who is a superb winemaker. So you made a very good decision early, punter, to get him to do your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, JB. Look, he's brilliant, Ben. He's been a lot of fun to work with. I said that at the outset of this whole business that Rana and I have started up, that if we're going to do this, we have to have the best people involved. It's not if you haven't, you just be sort of become a run of the mill, another sort of label. So yeah, but Ben, I made a few trips over to McLaren Vale and spent some time with him. Was ultra impressed at his setup and his operation and just how good he is at what he's done. I mean, the amount of awards and gold medals and stuff he's won through his winemaking over the years was incredible. So, look, he's been awesome for us. I've enjoyed learning from him, talking to him about wine, and so has Rihanna. So it's been a good journey so far.
And Bill, the first vintages, we went online, Lisa and myself, and got some of the Cab Sav and the Shiraz.
Right.
And I really hoped they'd be shit.
And
unbelievably good. I couldn't actually. I had to walk back into the commentary box and say, it was incredibly good and now recognised, especially the 127, with some incredible awards, yes?
Yeah, well, the 127, that's a new milestone range that we're going to go forward with. So the milestone 127, that signifies my first Test 100 at Heading that we're just talking about, at Ashes 100. So it's a Barossa Shiraz. We've released it at a really good time in sort of the lead up to Father's Day as well. And we're talking about Ben. We got ultra lucky because he's such a legend in the industry in South Australia. We were able to get some fruit from a Shiraz vineyard that's over 100 years old to blend into this wine. So it's been entered into one international wine show already, the Melbourne International Wine Show, 95 points and a gold medal. It's first release. So, no, Ben's been brilliant. And then the other wine that you mentioned there, JB, the Close of Play Cabernet, that's won three gold medals around the world, London, Frankfurt and New York wine shows. So we know we've got some great product and it's just about people getting it out there. And I'm sure once they've tasted it once, they'll come back again.
Now, how do people, Father's Day coming up, so anyone who's buying their dad something, they come in beautiful cases of three or two or three. How do people get them?
Yeah, we can buy singles, you can buy cases of six, whatever people would like, JB. But the best place to buy them is through pontingwines.com.au. And what we've decided to do as well from now through the weekend leading up to Father's Day is free delivery on all purchases through this weekend. So just a little bit extra that we can give back to people that are good enough to go online and buy some of our wine.
All right. Any Carlton draft there? No. All right.
Probably some under your desk now, is there?
Hey, that sounds great. So Father's Day especially, Jim, exactly what a great little present that is
and
for
they
Dad.
They are bloody good, all BS
Well,
aside.
You would know. You would know, Jim. You're good. Our wine
and
man
I'm
here.
A Ben Riggs fan anyway. His stuff's fantastic. So Ponting Wine, get stuck into it online, and you can get that ready for Father's Day for Dad. A
couple of questions, punter. JL, under the pump last couple of weeks. Good to see Cricket Australia come out and said they're backing Justin Langer, of course. Passionate, honest. Was he maybe too honest and passionate to some of the younger players or not?
Oh, look, I don't think you can be too honest. I don't think you can be too passionate. I just think, and especially when JL took over, if you wind the clock back 3 years, cricket in Australia was in a pretty dire situation, wasn't it, on the back of Sandpaper Gate. And there was some talks about, some of the attitudes and disciplines around the team were nowhere near what they needed to be for an Australian cricket team. So he came in. And didn't change himself. I mean, he just came in and coached the way that he needed to coach that team. And, the majority of it, I think they've done exceptionally well. They've had some really good results. Sure, the last summer was ultra disappointing to not be able to win against India at home with the team that India had on the park. I mean, that was a bit of a stab in the heart for Justin and all the players, I'm sure. But, JB and I have spoken a lot to him over the last couple of weeks. It's been a difficult period for him. There's no doubt about that. And he's, poor bugger's been locked up in quarantine in Adelaide as well and had you know, fending off articles every other day about him and his coaching and whatever else. But and you're right there. The thing that disappointed me the most about it was that how long it took Cricket Australia to hear from anybody. I mean, imagine if that was the Richmond Footy Club and Dimmel was getting, you know, negative articles written about him every day. I don't think it would have taken him weeks and weeks for someone to stand up and say, hang on, we're not accepting this, you know, but it didn't happen. So JL was sort of left to himself and his mates there for a while, but he's got through really well. I believe, just listening to some of the stuff that Payne had to say on the weekend, I think there's been some ongoing conversations there about areas that he needs to improve and needs to get better at. And, you know, that's the sort of bloke he is anyway. I mean, if he preaches that way to the players, then obviously he's got to be willing to take that back and accept feedback. So, look, he's been a great coach for Australia and he will be for as long as he wants to be.
Yeah, good.
And some of the things said, by the way, about a man who is a great of the game in
great
this country
Australian.
Have been appalling. Yeah. Hey, geez, the young bloke's a change punter. I mean, you're younger than me, but in our day, I know there's Tassie dressing room, certainly the South Australia dressing room. If you put a foot wrong, the senior blokes had split you down the middle that hard, you couldn't walk for a week. Nowadays, it's a very different way they handle the young blokes.
Yeah, Booney wasn't shy. First couple of years that I played with him, he step a foot out of line there, and you wouldn't his mouth wouldn't move. You see the mustache wobbling around a little bit, but you could understand what he's having to say. But even Greg Shippen, you know, I remember he followed me from the gate one day at Bell Reeve. I'd played an pretty extravagant back foot cover drive and nicked one off Tony Donomate at Bell Reeve, and Shippy was standing at the gate waiting for me. Walked me all the way into the change room, sat beside me while I was taking my pads and gloves off. And gave it to me. But look, I think the big thing with coaching now, Jim, is understanding the individuals. It's not, you know, the team addresses and that sort of stuff these days don't really go down that way with the boys. You've got to treat them all as individuals and work well with them and try and find a way to get the best out of them on an individual basis in a team environment, which is what I'm finding all the time. And even with, you know, coaching in India, that's different again because you've got four or five, six different cultures in your team as well. So to work those guys out individually and then try and make them better is a great challenge, but something that I obviously really enjoy.
Yeah, you're a manager now, aren't you? Hey, now, should Australia have three different coaches, one for the 2020, one for the 50 overs, and one for Test cricket?
Something they've been talking about for a long time, you know, and I'm not letting any secrets out here, I don't think, but just before Darren Lehman resigned, it had been offered to me to be the T20 coach anyway, so they were going to split the roles back then.
Good.
I think where cricket got to then when JL took over, I thought it was really important that they needed the one voice and the one coach to bring everyone back together again, and that's going to be the challenge. If they ever split the roles up, I don't think you can afford to have two or three very different coaches, I think, because a lot of the players are still switching over from Test cricket to T20 cricket, and you don't want to be getting different messages all the time. So, in theory, I think it sounds great, but the practicality of it, I think, is a bit more difficult than we all think.
All right. Speaking of cricket, as we let you go, the Pom's coming out, of course. Ashes coming up this summer. We need to give them a nice touch-up, pundit. Not because Australia does need it with all the lockdowns and everything, but just because there's nothing sweeter than the Soap Dodgers coming out here thinking they've got a chance and then having their ass handed to them.
It's a great time on the calendar, isn't it? Whenever it's an Ashes series, and I was a young bloke growing up, all I wanted to do was play, be part of an Ashes series, and the Australians will be smartings from last summer as well. They haven't played any Test cricket since, I don't think, have they? The end of the series against India. So that, look, they need to bounce back. No one to bounce back better against than England. It's fair to say that without that day one last night, England haven't been travelling that well either. I think it looks like they're very unsettled as far as what their batting lineup's going to look like. You know, Ben Stokes not being in their side, and Jofra Archer's out now, potentially out for the Ashes as well, and with Stokes, you know, off cricket indefinitely, battling some mental health issues, I believe. We'll wait and see. But you know, let's hope it goes ahead, and let's hope we've got crowds. That's what I want to say. I want to see Ashes cricket in Australia with crowds again. And, you know, it's been a really difficult time for everyone here in Australia and around the world at the moment with what's happening with COVID. The AFL, I think, have done an incredible job to continue to push on and get through and almost unscathed again. Fantastic. And let's hope we can do the same with the cricket side of things and we get some people watching what should be a great contest again.
Ponting Wines, get stuck into it online for Father's Day. It is actually superb aside of anything else. So make sure you get online. And as Punter just said, the delivery is free to your door. So get stuck into that. Punter, you are a star. Thanks for joining us.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for having me.
It's the Rush Hour with JB and Billy on Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Now, Wallabies, fire up tiny little furry marsupials.
James Brayshaw, Bins Brownless.
I got asthma.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour, and JB, this is one of our favourite segments.
Oh, anything with idiot in front of it is what? Why poor fat?
Well, I'm pigeonholed for being a idiot
and
or
idiot
fat
even. And Bill,
yes.
The thing is, you pigeonhole yourself.
Uh-oh.
Because these are things you say. None, we don't prompt you to say it. You just say it. Maddie cuts it up, puts it into a song.
Maddie cuts it up.
The family love it.
Brings it up from 10 years ago, Jim.
No.
When I was just starting, I was a cadet.
This is all recent stuff. You ever listen to this song? And it's, of course, one of the great songs by one of the great Australian bands.
When I was a cadet with Dan Lonigan and those guys.
You ever listen to this? This is all recent stuff from you. Geez, imagine you two lined up next to each other. Not a follicle of hair on either of your heads. Here we go, idiot song.
The Nostro Mix.
Oh, so
Steve Hocking will just go in there and
if they match and then march him into the draft.
It won't happen, Jim. Both sides are amicable. And I said to him, what is going on with Aiden Corr? Where is he actually, Leon?
Woke up this morning from the strangest dream.
Just tell us what happens behind the scene.
We put an issue very late.
We were marching as one.
Diplo and Minica.
To the Holy Grail.
Any news on the volume of the noise crowd?
Oh.
Yeah, have you heard about the Great Crusader?
Crowd noise, I think, is what he's trying to ask.
Oh, the crowd noise.
Noise crowd, same thing.
Steve-o.
Yeah, we raised four corners of the globe for the Holy Grail.
You don't have to be silly, but I think you're allowed to do it.
Oh, sure.
No doubt you're allowed to do it.
Oh, no. Damo's going to put the kiber wash on it.
Well,
the what,
Bill?
Oh, hang on a second.
All the locals scattered. They were hiding in the snow.
Certainly Damien Hardwick.
There'd be nothing left to plunder when we stumble on the Holy Grail.
Gary Ablett, autobiography.
Audio. So,
autobiography.
Plug it into you.
Steve Hocking has put out a communications broadsheet today. And a
broadsheet.
When you turn 30, you should never ever be seen in a short sleeve football jumper.
Or sleeveless.
Sleeveless, yes. Even, Jim. A sleeveless jumper. Great supporter. They stuck thick and thin or fat and whatever it is, but they have stuck with you.
I'm still here. I'm still full of the Holy Grail.
Yes, we asked what that meant on the Sharon. It means Sharon in Arabic.
Yeah.
Arabic. Arabic. First time two big teams have played in Western Australia.
Mm.
Is it? I don't know. Well, don't write me questions when I don't know.
Oh, no.
Good song.
Brilliant
great
song.
Great song.
But Bill,
Holy Grail.
That's a nice sort of September football helping.
Just getting ready for September.
Pretty much all of that was around footy.
Do you reckon?
And there were a few that were a bit older. I think I heard Higg laughing at one of them. So that's a fair while ago.
20s but, chicken burgers.
Well, well done, Maddie, by the way.
Yes,
who
well
was
done,
a star.
Oh, Jim.
And now, Bill.
What?
Something humorous.
Yes. I've been good. I'm 3 from 3.
Well, you used Kerry O'Keefe last night.
Still my space. My space, Jim. Bill's joke, Kerry was involved, but my space.
Selfwealth.com.au. This is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
JB and Billy, this is Triple M's Rush Hour on tomorrow's Fruity Friday podcast. Make sure you catch that on the Listener app. But right now it's time for Billy's jokes, which sometimes can be a bit
messy.
Ange Postecoglou is now, he's coaching the Celtics.
Yep. And they're just called Celtic.
Celtic, righto. And they're winning and they're going beautifully. Yes. No one wanted him there, did they, over
Correct.
There?
Yep.
And they've got the big game
the
against
old
their
firm Derby.
Yeah. When's that?
Sunday night, 9 p.m. Ooh, our time.
That'll be huge over there, Jim. Come on, Ange.
Now, Bill.
What?
You used another performer to do your joke yesterday.
People do that, Jim.
No, they don't.
I like to share.
No, they don't. And it was the funniest joke that's been on this segment for about 2 years.
Jim, I'm a sharer.
All right.
Yeah, I'm a sharer.
All right, let's go.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Yeah. But you should be shearing that sheep.
I'm not sharing this with anyone. Shut up, Rebs.
I didn't say anything.
A man appeared at the pearly gates, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done anything of particular merit? St. Peter asked. Well, on a trip, I came across a gang of bikers who were hassling a young lady. Big bearded bikers, tough bikers, Jim.
Bikers.
Bikers. And they were hassling a young lady.
Yes.
So I went to the biggest biker and smacked him straight in the mouth and kicked his bike over and yelled, "Get out of here, you blokes, or I'll kick the crap out of the lot of you." St. Peter was impressed, Jim. When did this happen? About 2 minutes ago.
Oh, no. Have a look at Dangerous Dave. He's walking off.
Dangerous.
He don't want
anything
to do with
bad.
It.
That's not bad. Hose likes it.
Yeah. Oh, Hose is actually nodding.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad.
Bill, that's
not
four.
Bad. Yeah.
And wait for the fruity one, Jim, tomorrow. No. I like it.
Rare praise from Hose.
Yes.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. You could win the holy grail of fantasy footy and 50k cash. Play now, supercoach.com.au.